Let's face it, life is hard. You know what I mean. You want to win at work, but you're struggling to survive at home. You want to make your wife happy, but you have your own personal demons you have to battle with every single day. Trying to provide for your family financially, and at the same time, not knowing exactly how to protect and lead them spiritually. But do you know the only thing that's harder than trying to succeed as a man? Is when you're trying to do it alone. That's why at Real Men Connect, we're offering to do life with you. We have a unique and private program called the Real Men 300 that's designed to help you win at what matters most to you. Like having a personal relationship with God, having a stronger marriage, leading your family well, winning and living your God-given purpose at work, and leaving a legacy that will matter in eternity. In the Real Men 300, we promise you three things. One, you will never have to do life alone again. Two, you won't ever get left behind, no matter how much you're struggling. And three, not only will you learn how to win as a man, you'll learn how to lead other men to victory as well. Guaranteed. However, you can't just join the Real Men 300. You have to apply because we screen every man and space is limited in this private and exclusive brotherhood. So to find out more and to see if you qualify, just go to realmen300.com. Because life's not easy, but it can get better when you choose to do it together with men you can trust, who won't judge you, but will hold you accountable and encourage you as a man. So apply today at realmen300.com. That's realmen300.com. In my book, Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me, on page 46, I write, God won't remove all the obstacles in our way. He may even allow a few, but he'll always give us the strength to overcome every one of them. And if there's any man who's a living example of overcoming obstacles, it's my next guest, Carlos Evans, who after serving three tours of duty in Iraq, lost both his legs and left hand on his fourth deployment to Afghanistan after stepping on an improvised explosive device. You would never be the same after you hear his story of fear, faith, trouble, trust, anger, and the love of God and his wife that turned his tragedy into triumph. Buckle your seatbelt, warriors. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And today we have with us Carlos Evans, and Carlos is the founder of C.R. Evans Ministries. And Carlos was born in Puerto Rico, where he was an avid athlete throughout his high school and college years. And at the university level, Carlos studied theology and was very active in his church. It was during that time that the tragic events of September 11 occurred, and he felt compelled to join the family legacy of service in the United States Marine Corps, and originally planned to join as a chaplain. And Carlos served three tours of duty in Iraq and was assigned to Afghanistan for his fourth deployment. And in May 2010, he was the squad leader on foot patrol when he stepped on an improvised explosive device. And that blast took both of his legs and his left hand. And medically discharged after his rehab at Walter Reed, Carlos served in the Marine Corps for 8 years. Carlos is now a minister with the Assemblies of God USA, a Wounded Warrior spokesman, and a motivational speaker. And he and his wife, Rose Marie, co-authored a book called Standing Together, an inspirational story of a wounded warrior and his enduring love. They both reside in Orlando, Florida, and they have two beautiful daughters. And I asked Carlos to be on the Real Men Connect podcast today to talk to us about his journey and the faith it took to endure it. So please help me in welcoming my guest, retired Sergeant Carlos Evans. And first of all, Carlos, before you come on the show and introduce yourself, thank you for your service to our country, and thanks for joining us on the Real Men Connect podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here with you and all the audience. I'm very excited. Thank you very much.
Now, I got to tell you, Carlos, when our project manager, Lauren, she sent me the information about your book, and they sent me a copy of your book. Of course, I went immediately to YouTube and wanted to hear your testimony. And dude, I was in tears, man. Just a powerful, powerful testimony. And so I couldn't wait to have you on the show. And I know we had some logistical difficulties in getting you here earlier because you should have been on the show a lot earlier. But God's timing is perfect, and we trust in His sovereignty. And I'm excited to talk to you about your journey, because it's not just about what you had to endure, but your relationship with your wife. I wish we could have had Rosemarie on. It's just phenomenal. I mean, that was the thing that brought me to tears, is just your love that you guys have for each other. And it's just an amazing thing to see. But before we get started, Carlos, I always ask men when they come on the podcast to share with us their favorite Bible verse. And given your testimony, which we're going to get into in a little bit, can you share with us, what is your anchor verse that you use, or it may be one you may be dependent on in this season of your life? What is that?
Well, in this season of my life lately, I've been struck by this verse, and it's in Philippians 4:11. And Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." So I have that word in my heart, and I'm amazed that in Christ we learn, and Paul is teaching us to be content in whatever state you are, in whatever season you are, in whatever you're going through, to be content. So yeah, I'm studying that verse right now.
All right, now you're studying it right now, but how long has that been a verse for you? Because it seemed like that would be, I could see why that, given your story, why that would be it. How long has that been a verse that you at least been familiar with and know about?
Well, the last year, and as I keep going through it, I keep seeing things that I didn't see before. I also love Philippians 4:13. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
All right. So, man, let's get into it, man. Your story is just phenomenal. And I'm sure even a lot of veterans who have been in war and they've been overseas and they've had to do tour duties, they can relate to. But you grew up, and we mentioned this in the intro, that you grew up in a military family. At least many of your family members served in the military. Tell us a little bit about your childhood and what it was like growing up as a kid being exposed to a military family.
Oh, yes. I grew up in Puerto Rico. I lived very close to a military base, and I had a lot of family members that served. And I always had in my heart that desire to serve. But it was after 9/11 that I really felt that calling in my heart to join the Marine Corps. I remember I was in Bible college at the time. And because I wanted to join, but I wanted to join as a chaplain. But I remember watching the news and seeing everything that was going on. And I felt in my heart, I need to be there. So I joined the Marine Corps.
Now, you mentioned, so you grew up in this military family and you seen them that they have a desire to serve. And so you obviously were predisposed to the military, but you mentioned that you wanted to be a chaplain, though. That tells me that you also had a family of faith. So tell me about your mom and dad. What kind of parents were they?
My mother and my father, they are my heroes. My father was a merchant marine. So he was traveling most of the time and working. It was like after I was 15 that he retired, and I get to spend more time with him. But I came to Christ. It was through a family friend, and we visited that church. And my mother used to send us to church, and we went to church as we were kids. And it was in my teens that I had an encounter with God. And as time went by, then my mother, my father, my brother, my sisters, they started going to church with me together as a family.
So you had a major influence on your family coming to Christ then. Wow.
Yes, yes.
Man, and that is wonderful. That's awesome. Now, you mentioned that your family served, a lot of them served in the military and you were exposed to the military. Did it ever cross your mind when you decided, man, after what happened in 9/11, you said, man, I'm going to serve. I'm no longer going to be a chaplain, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight for my country. Did it even cross your mind that you could be injured or even killed? Did that even come across your mind?
You know what? It sounds a little crazy, but I did not think. I knew there was a risk, but I just did not think it would happen to me. Because as believers, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm not supposed to go through hardship. I'm not going to go through tribulations. I'm not going to go through sickness. I'm not going to go through hard times because God is protecting me. So that's what I was thinking at that time.
You know, Carlos, but isn't it's interesting that a lot of us believe that? And I'm thinking, where do we get that theology from? Because we all read the same Bible. And I'm thinking, what do we see in the Bible that they were free of tribulations and trials and suffering?
We don't.
Because I wonder, where does that come from? What do you think that comes from, that we adopt that theology, even though it's in plain black and white that it doesn't say that? Because a lot of us feel that way. Why do you think that's the case?
I think we adopt that because that's what we want to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what we want to believe in it. And it gives us that security blanket. But scripture doesn't say that.
You know, I remember Patrick Morley, who he's the author of Man in the Mirror. He says that we as Christians tend to worship the God we want as opposed to the God who is. And I guess that's the same thing about the Bible. We're reading the Bible for what we want, but not what it actually is saying.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But I never looked at it. Yeah, it's what we want more than anything else. Now, I know you've probably told your story a million times about what happened to you. Do you ever get tired of talking about it? And how do you feel when you have to relive and retell the details of what happened?
You know what? That's a very good question. It's very interesting because I don't get tired of sharing my story because I see the effect in the people who are listening. Also, yes, I am really going back to some experiences in my life, opening scars and opening wounds. But I feel that at the same time, it's a healing process in my life. So I think that the more I expose myself in that matter, I see it healing goes both ways, and it gives me so much joy to see, you know, what God is doing through my wounds, my scars that have become my platform today. So I guess I have learned to embrace them. The more I embrace my scars, the more I see the effect in people that are seeing and are listening. And to me, that is standing for me. That is walking to me.
You know, that's well said, Carlos. And I can relate to that too, because men ask me all the time when I'm speaking about, man, I share the details, the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life. And they say, man, you know, how do you feel talking about that stuff, about abuse and addiction and adultery and all this other stuff? And exactly what you just said, that it's actually a healing process for us when we do share our testimony. And, you know, as much as you've gone through, men, they don't have to go through as much as you've gone through to be able to share their testimony, to get healing, but also offer hope to other people in it. And so I like how you put that. Now, I know the men out there listening, Carlos, would think, okay, wow, man, let's hear his testimony about what happened to him. And they can read your book for that. They can go on YouTube for that. What I really wanted to focus on for this interview is how you survived it, not more so of what happened, because as we know, it's not what happens to us, but how we respond to it. And if you really want to witness for Christ, watch a person's response after they go through tragedy and a trial or a tribulation. So we know that you lost both your legs and your left arm. But explain to us what recovery was like for you and how tough it was. I want to get to the story after all this stuff has happened.
Wow. Well, I opened my eyes 7 days after the IED blast in the hospital bed in Walter Reed Bethesda in Washington, D.C. Because I was in an induced coma. And when I opened my eyes, I saw my wife, Rosemary, right in front of me. And I was happy to be alive. But at the same time, reality sinked in. My wife notified me, told me that I didn't have my legs and I didn't have my left hand. Immediately after, she's sharing this with me, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to be the father that I promised my daughters I was going to be. I'm not going to be able to be the husband that I promised Rosemary I was going to be. I'm not going to be able to be the man that I'm supposed to be. So I went through a very deep depression. I was suicidal. I was addicted to narcotics and suffering from severe PTSD. So that is just, part of what was going through my mind, living 2 years in the hospital in Walter Reed Bethesda.
Now, so you were coming out of a coma after 7 days, and then you hear this devastating news from Rosemary about not having your legs, not having one of your arms. As far as what was her initial response to you after you came to and she's telling you all of this, what was her initial response?
Well, my wife, she's a nurse. She's an ICU nurse. So her initial response to me, she was very supportive. She was very supportive. I felt that I didn't deserve someone like her in my life because I did not love my new body. I didn't love the person that I saw in the mirror. So men, when we're not proud of ourselves, it's very hard to show love and kindness to others. So I couldn't understand how my wife could show me love and support when I wasn't showing it because I was very depressed.
Well, and see, you hit on such a very important point. She was showing it even when you weren't. She was giving something to you that you weren't even giving back to her, but she gave it. And Carlos, as you share this, I think about the sovereignty of God. We mentioned it earlier. How God, we always act as if God is surprised by what happens to us. And God knew you before you even formed in your mother's womb. So nothing we do surprises him. And you know what I'm hearing even in your story? That it's not even a surprise that Rosemary was a nurse.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, God, if we just get a small glance, we can see God's fingerprints on stuff. That she a nurse? So she was a nurse before you even went off. She was studying to be a nurse before you went off to Iraq?
She was a nurse. She was an ICU nurse. She was,
wow.
She was a nurse for 9 years. And when she was in Puerto Rico and I was deployed in Afghanistan, she was taking some classes on trauma, dealing with people that had amputation due
Are
to
you
trauma.
Serious?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Dude, how can you not see God in that? That's just amazing to me.
No.
Because that means she already had the temperament and the bent towards serving and supporting patients like that. It just, I tell people, if you look hard enough, even in the worst of tragedies, you can see traces of grace, of God's grace in things. But you mentioned about, man, being depressed, being suicidal, suffering from severe PTSD. But you mentioned also being addicted to painkillers. How long did that last and how did you break free from that?
Well, that lasts about four to five years because I was in a treatment. And while I was going through this treatment, Suboxone treatment, then I got addicted to the treatment, And it was very hard for me to stop taking the treatment or the narcotics, because I was totally dependent on it. And now at this time, I was traveling, I was speaking, I was preaching, and I was just praying to the Lord, Lord, I cannot be, dependent on this. And I remember one day I'm in church and my pastor is preaching, and he made a call to prayer, and he said, I feel in the Holy Spirit that I need to pray for someone today that's dealing with this addiction. And when I heard that, I was in shock. Like, I wanted to run away. I'm like, what? He's speaking to me? I'm like, I just couldn't believe it. So I felt like, wow, what people going to say or think about me if I go and pray about this, if I answer this prayer call. But I did it anyway. And I went in a corner and I started praying. And that day, my pastor was praying with me, and I went back home, and I was about 14 days without any without any pills. And then day 15, I started feeling, that urge. And I was looking for the medication, and I couldn't find it. I was looking, and I couldn't find it. I remember my wife went to bed. She prayed for me. They put like hot towels in my body. I went to sleep, woke up the next day, never again took the medication. I remember asking my wife, I was worried about, whatever happened to those pills, whatever happened. She's like, why are you asking? I'm like, well, I'm worried about, what about, my daughters find them or something like that. She's like, well, I found them 2 weeks ago.
Oh my goodness.
And wow. She gave them to me and we threw it away. I mean, that was my experience.
Yeah, because we know it could be different for a lot of guys, but I'm always curious about that because a lot of men that I work with, including myself, had to go through addictions. And I'm always interested in the stories of the process that God takes them through to deliver them from it. Now, I'm hoping that this is a fair question to ask. Because you mentioned before about Rosemarie to me is like a saint to me. I know if she was on the show right now, she said, "Tell that guy, no, I'm not." But this is a pretty delicate question, because you know yourself better than anybody else. You were so concerned about the things that you weren't going to be, and I want to know, how long did you think Rosemarie had to deal with you not forget about the physical, but you not being the emotional and the right mental and spiritual state. In other words, that she had to endure, this is not my husband at full strength. We're not talking about physical. We're talking about emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. How long did she have to deal with you not being yourself?
I think the first 2 years were the hardest. The first 2 years were very, 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 very hard. And her main concern was not seeing me without legs or missing my left hand. Her main concern was that emotionally, I just wasn't there. So I remember one day, I was just ready to give up, because I just didn't think this was going to work. Like I said, I didn't love my body. I didn't love the person that I saw in the mirror. So I go to Rosemarie and I tell her, you know what? Why don't you continue with your life? And I'll just stay here and, take the girls and continue with your life. And she looks at me and she tells me, what do you mean continue with my life? I love you for the man you are today. I love you for the man you were yesterday. And I love you for the man you're going to be tomorrow. And she tells me, I'm not an orphan and your daughters are not. I'm not a widow, she said, and your daughters are not orphans. You are their father and you are my husband. And she told me, and I told her, you know what? You don't mean that, because how can you mean that? Because look at all the wounds I have in my body. Look at my body. I'm not the man that you married. And she tells me, that's the difference between you and me. I don't see your wounds. I only see your scars. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And she says, well, I only see your scars because I know who's your healer. And your healer is Jesus. And she kept telling me, you see, when a patient goes inside a hospital room with an open wound, he sees the doctor. That doctor heals that wound, closes it, and then becomes a scar. When I see your scars, I see who healed your wound, and that is Jesus. So that was a breakthrough in my life. Because right there, I kind of saw, you know, this is the way God sees me. That I'm not incomplete, that I'm complete. Because he fulfills everything in my life. And, you know, love endures everything. So, I mean, about that time, and that was like a year. About that time, you just things started, you know, going another way, in the most positive way. And she was encouraging me, and I started focusing on the things that I have and not in the things that I didn't have.
Wow, man, I tell you. And we're talking to Carlos Evans today, who's the author of Standing Together. And what a great testimony of enduring love with him and his wife, Rosemarie. And Carlos, one reason why I brought you on the show, and I wanted you on Real Men Connect, because we typically get, you know, I love how the Bible, when we hear stories in the Bible, we always look at the specific story, like the paralytic man in the Bible who was trying to get into the pool of Bethesda, or the young rich ruler who walked away in shame. And when we look at the young rich ruler, we keep thinking it was about a money issue. When we look at the paralytic man, it's about him physically not being able to be healed. And we're looking at the situation, but we're not reading below the surface. It's not about him being paralyzed. It's not about the wealth that the young rich ruler has. It's about a condition of the heart. That in both cases, how one man responded and another man responded. One walked away, the young rich ruler, in shame. And the paralytic man had faith to say, I don't know who you are, Jesus, but if you say, pick up my mat and walk, I'm going to do it. And so one reason I brought you on is, and I think it was a great setup on how you said it. You said, when you came out after those 7 days, you said, man, I'm not going to be the man. And you fill in a lot of different blanks. That she needs me to be for my kids, that not the winning father, I'm not going to be the provider, I'm not. And I want the men to understand that it's not just about the physical condition. And I want you to speak now to that man out there who now said, well, I have my legs, I have my arms, but Carlos, I'm not the husband that I need to be for my wife. I'm not the father I need to be for my children. I come from a past that I don't know what I need to do. And I don't think I'm ever going to be the man that they need me to be. What would you say to him?
Well, in my life, I thought I wasn't going to be the father that I promised my daughters I was going to be. Why? Because I thought they were going to be ashamed of me because of my wounds and because how I was reacting to everything. So I didn't want to step up, you know, and be that person that they be that father that they wanted me to be, because I was looking at myself as a victim. And since I was looking at myself as a victim, I was stuck. But I had a life-changing experience a day that while I was in the hospital room, my nurse is healing my wounds, open wounds, because I used to always hide my wounds from my daughters. My four-year-old daughter walks inside the hospital room, and she sees Daddy, you know, with his open wounds. And when I saw her, I started crying and freaking out because I thought she was going to be ashamed of me for life. And the nurse tells her, do you want to heal Daddy's wounds? And she says, yes, I want to heal Daddy's wounds. And she started healing my wounds. And I started crying right there. But what I learned from this experience was that, you know, your kids, they're always going to look at you as daddy, as strong, as independent. You don't need to become a victim of your past or or what has happened to you. You need to look at yourself the same way, you know, in my case, my daughter was looking at me. She was embracing my wounds. She was embracing Papi. She saw something of me that I wasn't seeing, that I was strong, that I was independent, that I was a survivor. So I started to see myself the same way she saw me. And when I did that, I started acting, you know, stepping up, just being present in their lives. And I tell that man, that father, that husband, you know, to step up, you know, to look at yourself through the mirror of the cross. Because when you look at yourself through the mirror of the cross, you're not incomplete. You are complete. But amen. and to look help and to look for help, because it's so hard for us to look for help, to find help, you know, not to find it, but to look for it, because we don't like to share our negatives, you know. We don't like to share our wounds. We don't like people to see, you know, the negative stuff. And it's very important for you to share that with someone, because that person that loves you for who you are is going to give you the tools to be the person that God wants you to be.
Right, right. Now, Carlos, you know, you mentioned about receiving the help. Was that difficult for you to receive help? And, you know, I don't know what kind of man you were prior, before the incident, but afterwards, was that difficult for you to receive help from even your children, from your wife, and from other people who wanted now to cater to you and to help you? Was that difficult for you?
That was very difficult for me. I mean, I was in the Marine Corps, very independent, strong. We worked as a team, but I mean, it was very hard for me when someone wanted to push me in my wheelchair. Very hard for me when someone wanted to help me because I felt they were having pity for me. Yes, very, but extremely difficult.
So how'd you overcome that? How'd you overcome that?
I overcame that. Seeing that first in scripture, you see that Jesus let someone help him carry his cross.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
and he is showing us that so we can learn that, hey, there's nothing wrong with someone helping you. And I also saw that when I opened myself for someone else to help me, right? I saw that I was also blessing that person too. And I also saw the positive effect in people. Opening my heart, it kind of made me also more sensible to the needs of others. So opening my heart to let other people help me to accomplish things that I needed, it just became common sense, because it just took me to the route that I needed to go. I mean, right. I saw the effect of. So it was, the effect was bigger than my ego.
Yeah. You know, I love how you're looking at it from that perspective, because we don't often look at it from that perspective, that when we allow people to help us, it is actually blessing them. We always look at it as being a burden on them. But, you know, but we don't think about it enough that, man, think about the last time you helped somebody. How did you feel? You felt like, wow, I'm going to be a blessing to this person, and I'm going to feel blessed that I'm doing it. And so we're kind of like denying people a blessing to want to help and support us. You know, now, Carlos, I got another question for you, and it's probably tough to answer it, but we'll see. We'll try. Because you went through a lot, man. What was probably the most difficult battle, the most serious feeling that you had to contend with and to get through?
After my injury?
Yeah.
My biggest battle.
Because I know it was a lot of them that you dealt with, but if there's one that, wow, this one I don't think of, God, I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this.
Was working with my identity. Because I thought that, oh, my car, that says who I am. This house says who I am. My shoes, my clothes, my money. That says who I am. And I remember just going to my house one day, and I'm crawling myself you know, crawling myself inside my house, my wife picking me up, you know, through the stairs. So I just started crying and going crazy because, like I said, my identity. So, you know, going through that was the most difficult thing. And the breakthrough in my life, you know, in that area, was that, hey, if you look, when you look at yourself through the mirror of the cross and you see yourself how Jesus sees you, you know, I'm not incomplete, you know. I'm complete because he fulfills everything in my life. And then I go back to scripture, and when I see Jesus encounter with Thomas in a glorified body, Jesus shows Thomas his scars. So right there, you know, in my life, I said, wow, if Jesus in a glorified body has scars, just like I have scars, so I have to embrace them. So I found that my identity wasn't in my legs. My identity wasn't in me having a perfect body. My identity wasn't in having a nice car or having a big house or wearing my uniform. My identity is in the Word. And that and seeing that, it made me a better father. It made me a better husband. I mean, as men, we think that, you know, manhood is so many things, but no, manhood is standing up for your family, standing up for your values, standing up for your children, and serving.
Yeah. Even if you have to do it without legs.
Even if you have to do it without legs, even if you have to do it without a hand, even if you have to do it while you're injured. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, in my life today, I always say, today I'm touching more people with one hand than when I had two.
Wow. Wow. That's great. I love it. You know, Carlos, now let's get real. You know, Real Men Connect, we get real, we get raw. And I told you, I always want to reach that man out there who said, well, Joe, that's exactly what I wanted to say or wanted to ask. And you share with us your story. You know, you even led your family by your example to Christ. And you get this call that, wow, I want to go serve my country. After you sued 9/11 and said, man, because your intention was I was going to be a chaplain. So you're going to serve God even in the military. But then you realize, no, I want to be on the front line. I want to be there to fight for my country. And so you love God. You're doing all of this. And you're doing all this with the right reason, for the right reasons, with the right heart. And then all of this happens. You lose your legs. You lose your arm. And you got a question. Where is God in all of this? And having to wake up to being in so much pain afterwards, did you ever question your faith and doubt God during this time? And if so, what was that like? Because I know there's a man out there that said, Joe, you just don't understand. I've been, quote, serving God my whole life, and I don't understand why this is happening to me. I know that had to cross your mind. So
oh, yes.
How'd you deal with that? What was that like for you?
Oh, I can tell you, my faith was shaken. My faith was shaken, and there were times that I screamed in the hospital room, asking myself, God, you know, why or where are you? Because I didn't feel anything good. I just felt pain. So yes, I was very mad, very, very mad. And in my life, this is my personal experience, as time went by, I remember one day, it was 2 years after that experience, I'm in my house, I'm doing well, I accepted myself, and I'm doing very well. And the Holy Spirit just starts ministering to my heart and reminds me of that day that I was screaming and yelling, God, where are you? Why me? And I started seeing, and the Holy Spirit was just started showing me, where was God in the middle of all this? And my answer, and like I said, this is my personal experience. My answer, or the Lord's answer in my life, was God was with Rosemary, taking care of her so she could take care of you. God was with my Marines when I stepped on that IED in Afghanistan, taking care of them so they could take care of me. God was with the doctors, with the nurses, with my daughter Nairobi when she came in and she started healing my wounds. God was with the volunteers that came to the hospital room and took care of me and helped me when I didn't want to be helped, but they helped me. There was God. God was with my wife. God was with my mother, with my parents. So I started, sometimes when we're in a crisis, we focus on the crisis and we don't see the good. So I started seeing, wow, God was never absent from my tears of my pain. He was always there, and he is there. So I speak life to that man that is listening to me today. You know, see the good. See, focus on the things that you have, and don't focus on the things that you don't have. Focus in how God sees you, and not how other people want to see you. So, yeah, that was a life-changing experience that I had, and it showed me a lot that God is never absent from our tears. I remember one day I'm driving with a friend of mine, and there's this homeless man, and this guy comes up to me, and he's asking for money, right? And he comes to me running, but he hits me. He hits me in my chest. He doesn't know me. He hits me in my chest, and he hits me in my limbs. And he says, "You know what God did to you?" And I'm like, "Oh, my God, this guy's crazy."
Right.
And he says, "God did not punish you. God made you stronger." Oh, my God. And that's my life. God did not punish me. God wasn't absent. He was just creating a platform. He was making me stronger.
You know, I hear, again, traces of grace. Traces of grace. But, Carlos, you're right. We have to look for it. We have to look for it. And God is saying, it's there if you look for it. It's there. And, wow, man, what a wonderful, wonderful perspective and wonderful testimony. And I'm hoping that men will find hope in your words and what you're saying. Now, I'm going to shift it a little bit. Your wife, I told you, I'm just crazy about her, and I've never met her before.
Me too.
what did you learn about your wife that you didn't know that may have surprised you after all of this happened?
Wow, that she was a prayer warrior. I mean, I say this and I get very emotional. You know, there were times that she was worried every time that she wanted to give up, but she didn't let her emotions, you know, guide her. She went to the Word, and she relied in the Word, and the Lord made a way. So I saw in my wife that she had a gigantic faith, and that she was just a prayer warrior, and I love her. I love has grown.
You know, and probably, you know, you knew this even when you married her, but isn't it amazing how in all of this that it shows you even more so of what you guys had? Because a lot of times we think tragedy and tribulations is going to destroy our marriage, but it actually can strengthen it if both other people are rooted in their faith. And even in your story, that you had to borrow some of her faith and lean on her faith while you were going through this time. And who knows, you may have to do the same if you haven't already to do the same for her. That's why we're supposed to come together as one body. But this is just amazing to me. Now, Carlos, I know you, you meet a lot of men now that you're speaking now, and you get to have a bigger platform. But you run into a lot of men who get divorced and they abandon their families and even leave their families for a lot less than what you guys went through. So what do you say to the man who is struggling in their marriage right now, thinking, I'm just done with this, man. I can't handle this. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I expected or anticipated. So I'm done with this. What do you say to the men who are quitting for a lot less than what you're going through?
The majority of the men that I've known that are quitting or that want to quit, they don't want to look for help. I want to speak to that man. There's someone out there that wants to help you to get you to the place that you need to be. I mean, open your heart, be teachable, open your heart and appreciate and see that person, yeah, your wife, your family. They love you. Even when you're wounded, even with your mistakes, they still love you. They love you because of the man who you are today and because of the man that you're going to be tomorrow, you know. That is special. Don't let that go away. I mean, do what you have to do. And what you have to do, you need to get help. You need to talk to someone. And you need to make a decision as well. And that's what I have encountered, and that's what I want to speak to the man that's listening to me. Open your heart to a change. Open your heart to let someone help you.
Guys, we're talking to our guest, Carlos Evans, who's the author of Standing Together, and we're just sharing and talking about his amazing story. Not just of what he's had to endure, but a love that endures with him and his wife. Now, we're going to get ready, and I'm glad we're going to have time to get into our man-up questions in just a minute or two. But I want to ask one last question, Carlos, before we transition into the man-up questions. And your book is phenomenal. I told you, I love the fact of the love that you guys share in your marriage is just phenomenal to me. But if there was one benefit, okay, because obviously it's a blessing for disabled veterans and their loved ones. But what do you want others outside of just veterans who are disabled to get and learn most from your book that you wrote with your wife?
First of all, I learned that everybody goes through pain. I want them to get that your tears today can be your platform tomorrow. I want them to get that when you look at yourself through the mirror of the cross, you are not incomplete. You are complete because Jesus fulfills everything in your life. And I want them to get that love endures everything. And that's one of the main things that we want to share, that and that standing doesn't have to do with anything with having feet. Standing has to do with believing, because I learned that to move, I don't need feet. I just need faith.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So yes, that's, we're being very raw in the book, very open, because I think that's the best way where people can relate to you, that you don't have to be ashamed of your scars. Embrace your scars.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I got from the book too. And I'm hoping that the listeners out there will pick up a copy so they can read it. But if anything, just for the inspiration alone and to get you through any tough times that you may be going through personally in your life. Now, Carlos, it's that time, man, in our show for the man questions. And these are five quick questions starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And all they require is your fearless honesty, which I'm sure you won't have a problem with, Carlos, because your book is so raw as well. So the question is, man, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. And guys, we'll be right back with my guest, Carlos Evans, after this short break. Hey, Mighty Warrior. Whenever I travel across the country speaking and teaching at men's conferences, I'm often asked, Joe, what do you do for a living? And I usually respond by saying, I simply help Christian men win. I tell them that I provide them with a proven 5-step plan that's guaranteed to help any Christian man succeed in the areas that matter most to him as a man, like loving God, being the hero of his home, being a champion at work, protecting and providing for his family, and leaving a legacy of faith for his children and his grandchildren. And I tell them that the men who come through our organization walk away better equipped and more confident to win in the battles that they fight every day as men. Now, you can imagine the response I usually get is, what is that proven 5-step plan? And I tell them we provide a free training on our website. All they have to do is go to rmcfree.com to gain access to it. That's it. So if you like to find out the 5 critical things that every Christian man needs to succeed, guaranteed, then just go over to rmcfree.com to get the training. That's rmcfree.com. Welcome back, Mighty Warriors. I'm with my guest, Carlos Evans, who's the author of Standing Together, and he's ready to take on the man of questions. And Carlos, they're going to be painless. They're not going to hurt, man. But I just want you to be straight up and be brutally honest with us. The M stands for mistake. What mistake did you learn the most from doing this process of what you had to go through, your ordeal?
My ego.
overcoming your pride, eh?
my pride, you know. Yeah, that was a big mistake, you know, having so much pride that not opening yourself to help and to change,
you know. And it's interesting you say that, because the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And when you were able to put your pride and your ego aside, what ended up happening, you started to see more of God's grace coming towards you.
Oh, yes.
And which is so powerful, that God is, he never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. It may not be the timing that we wanted to be in, but eventually, if we trust him and we walk faithfully with him, he's going to reveal himself to us. Now, let me go to the A. The A represents attitude. And like I mentioned earlier, that you travel the country, you speak. And a lot of churches where a lot of men, a lot of veterans. If there was the A stands for attitude. If there was an attitude, one attitude in the heart of man that you could change based on your experience, what would it be?
Attitude, a learning, teachable, learning attitude, being humble, a positive attitude. But I don't know if this is an attitude, but, you know, having discipline, you know. Having a teachable attitude, I think that changes a lot. When you have an attitude that, you know, an open attitude to learn, a learning attitude, that, I mean, if everybody had that, that would be great.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that about having a teachable attitude. I work with a lot of women, too, as well. Not as many as men as I do, but a lot of women, especially single women, who are looking to be married. So, of course, they know what we do. So they're always asking questions. Joe, I'm dating this guy. What should I be looking for? And obviously, we want them to find a man of faith. But a lot of times they find men of faith and they still struggle. So I tell him, I said, here's what you're looking for. I said, let's give him that he's going to be a Christian. I give him that. I said, but here's the key thing you're looking for. Make sure he has a teachable spirit. I said, because you can overcome any problem, any obstacle, if he has an open heart, that he's open to receiving wisdom from God and from other people who God puts into his life. If he has a teachable spirit, your relationship has a chance. But a hardened heart, you don't have a chance at all. So I'm glad you mentioned it, because that's an attitude I would change him into, just having a teachable spirit. Now, obviously, you guys have turned the tears of your tragedy into a platform, as you said. The N stands for next. What's the next big thing that you guys would attempt to do for God in ministry if you couldn't fail?
What's the next big thing I would attempt if we couldn't fail?
Yeah, right now in ministry, what would you guys want to do if God say, you know what, we'll give you the desires of your heart. What do you want to do to glorify God in ministry that you haven't done already?
What we haven't done already. Well, we will like to share with as many people as possible who is God in our life. So what are one of the ways of doing this for in our life will be through art, through cinema, through a movie, through books, through. So, I mean, that's something that we would like to do, because to reach as many people as we can. And yeah, that's a project in our hearts.
All right, I love that. So you're talking about using a multimedia approach to even reaching more people for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. Now, Carlos, the U stands for understand. Now, when you were younger, a younger man, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man that you understand better now?
I didn't understand that being a man was about being present, having discipline, and serving others. To me, growing up, I was as a kid and even as a teenager, being a man was, oh, how many girls I can get.
Right.
You know, how many girls I can conquer. Oh, how popular I can be. And I thought that was being a man. But no, to me, being a man is solving problems. It's being a provider. It's being an example. Being an example of the life of my daughters and my wife and in my community.
Wow. Now, here's the last one. We'll let you out of here on this last question. P stands for problem. And obviously, Carlos, you've been through a lot, not only as a man, but as a veteran. And now with this new season in your life of now being able to share your testimony with so many people across the world. But what is the one problem in your life that you still struggle with as a man, even today?
Well, I struggle every day. I struggle with mental health. I struggle with PTSD. I struggle with my physical needs, because I don't have any legs and I'm missing my hand. Those are the things that I struggle with. Now, what do? I bring them to the cross every day. When I bring them to the cross, then I start seeing life differently. My reaction is another. But these are things that I struggle with.
Wow. You know, now you answered the question. You did a great job. But now this is the first time I've ever done this, added an additional question after the the man of questions. I'm just going to ask you, do you think your faith will be as strong as it is today if you didn't go through what you went through?
Very good question. Someone asked me, what would you say to the person that if you could go back in time and see, you know, Sergeant Evans in the hospital room without any legs and missing a hand, what would you tell him? And I said, well, this is what I will tell him. Be patient, because starting today, May 17, 2010, you're about to live the best days of your life.
Wow.
So, yes, my faith has grown so much from this experience, and that's why I don't regret the experience. I don't regret stepping on that IED. I don't regret joining the Marine Corps. I've learned so much, you know, from the experience. My faith has grown. Forgiveness. I mean everything. Like today, I'm touching more people with one hand than when I had two.
Yeah.
Today, I'm leaving more footprints and more hearts than when I had feet. So yes, my faith has grown a lot from this experience, and it's growing.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, great job, Carlos. That was awesome. Thanks for being so transparent and honest and open with us. And thank you for joining us today and being so gracious with your time, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Carlos, very quickly for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you and your ministry and what you and your wife are doing, and they wanted to look at some of the work that you guys are doing across the world, how can they connect with you, or what would be the best way to reach out to you?
They can visit our website at crevans.org, and that will lead you to all our social media.
All right. And that's crevans.org. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what we'll do is we'll put that in the show notes for our listeners, so you guys can just click on that in the show notes so you can visit Carlos and his wife and find out more about this story and see if they might be in a city near you so you maybe go out and meet him personally. But definitely you want to make sure you get his book, Standing Together. So guys, that's the end of our show. And if you can, please do us a favor. And this is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program for us, because it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.